Are you excited but nervous at the same time about investing in real estate? Are you confused about where to get started? Do you feel uncertain about your ability to invest in real estate because of finances, the market conditions, or not knowing enough? Hi, my name is Monica Sawyer, and I'm the host of the Real Estate Investing for Women podcast. I work with professional women on how to get started in real estate investing or grow their current portfolios. In this podcast, I will share my own strategies as well as those of many amazing experts so that you too can build wealth the blissful way. That means building wealth on your own terms, part-time, with very little stress. To get started, download your free report on my personal favorite strategy at blissfulinvestor.com.
I am so excited to welcome to the show today, Jen Duplessis. Jen Duplessis, America's Mortgage Mastery Mentor, believes that you can live your legacy while you are building by working on purpose to play with passion. She is recognized as an influencer in her industry as the best-selling author of Launch, How to Take Your Business to New Heights, host of the top-rated podcast, Mortgage Lending Mastery, which I've been on, yay, and is a highly sought-out and charismatic international speaker speaking on stages with such icons as Darren Hardy, Tony Robbins, and Les Brown. She works with mortgage loan officers and real estate professionals who are overwhelmed, stressed out, and sabotaging their personal lives for the sake of their business to help them multiply the results in record time while having the courage to say yes to their personal lives, which sometimes means saying no to clients. She has been seen and heard on Good Morning America, Sirius XM Radio, Voice America, and Mortgage News Network, and has been recognized with the Women with Vision Award as one of the top 20 most powerful women in the mortgage industry. Hello, Jen. How are you?
Great. I am so excited to be here. We had so much fun on my podcast. I can't wait to have just as much fun on yours. And we just clicked really well. So it's just a really exciting time and happy to share whatever I can for your audience.
Yay. Yeah, I was feeling the same thing. I get to talk to Jen again. Yay. So I'm so glad to
have
you
here. That's
awesome. Yeah. So tell us a little bit about your investing journey. I know that your focus really is on helping real estate professionals do their job better and run their businesses better. But tell us a little bit about your investing journey.
Yeah, well, funny thing about investing, and I found I was actually investing way before. I have 10 aunts and uncles. My mom was one of 10, and 5 men, 5 women, and 5 of the men, all of them are real estate investors. So I was exposed to it really, really young. I was cleaning apartment buildings in Central Michigan University, where they own a lot of property, and really just being exposed to it. My mom and dad were investors as well. They had a kind of a unique way that they did things. And that was, of course, left to my brother and I when they passed away a few years ago. And we started our own kind of investing. And in fact, we bought our first home when we were 19 years old. My husband and I, we got married a few months later. And then by the time we were, I think, 24, we had 5 properties. And at that time, you know, really wasn't popular for fix and flip and things like that. It was just buy the house, and they were so cheap, right? Back then.
Right.
37 years ago. Yeah, they were so cheap. And so you'd save a little money and buy a house. And sometimes we pay cash, and sometimes we had seller finance and stuff. But we really did step investing. And part of step investing is also that we didn't need the cash flow. And so therefore, all of the cash flow went back into paying everything off as we went along the line. And then later, we traded in the houses for the hotels for on the Monopoly game. We got some multifamilies and stuff. So these days, we're doing Airbnbs, and we're doing subject twos. That's what we do, is we buy subject two properties. And I'm just so excited about this new market. And it's sad because we're in COVID, right? In the COVID challenge. And while we're in the COVID challenge, some people are going to lose their homes. But I'm just excited about the opportunity to help them, not to take from them, but to help them. But furthermore, I was training real estate agents for years and years. And I would ask them, how many of you own your own home? Because really, I actually found that a lot of real estate agents never even owned their own home. They got into real estate and never owned their own home. But those that did own their home, I'd say, well, how many of you have investment properties? I can honestly tell you, less than 1% of the 18 years I was teaching real estate agents, less than 1% of them owned many homes. And to me, that's like me being a Mary Kay consultant and saying, you should wear makeup. I don't wear makeup, but you should wear makeup. Or a sales guy saying, you should buy a car. I still ride on a horse and buggy, but you should buy a car. And I found that they just weren't buying their product. And I didn't want to be in that position as a mortgage lender. I wanted to be in the position where I was buying the product that I was helping people achieve and obtain to grow wealth. And so one of my niches was investors, was doing investor loans. Yeah.
And that's really interesting, right? Because I tell people this all the time. When you're looking for a mortgage broker or you're looking for a real estate agent and it's for your investments, make sure they're investors themselves, because anybody can sell a house, but someone who understands what it's like to be an investor, the kinds of things you need to look for, they're going to be a huge asset. And a lot of times a real estate agent, I don't know how or why they do this, but a lot of times they'll get in the way of you investing in a property because they just kind of don't understand the process. Like, it's not a perfect home, but as an investor, you're usually not looking for a perfect home for you to live in, right? A lot of times they don't understand that you don't want to see all these condos where they have to be owner occupied, right? So they'll keep sending you stuff and it's not even a qualify for your strategy, right? So it's important that you are dealing with people that understand what you're trying to do, and then they can be a huge asset.
Oh, and I also think that you deal with people that are in that space, they have teams.
Yes.
Right? Their own team. So when your team isn't available or something goes awry or something like that, or they're too busy, it's great to be able to tap into their teams as well.
Right.
And their resources.
There's a lot of benefits to dealing with agents and mortgage brokers that really get it. So that's awesome. So talk to us a little bit, since you're in mortgages, talk to us about the myths of financing.
Yeah. And we were talking about this in the green room, saying, are they myths? Are they, what are they? But, you know, I know that your audience is everywhere from someone who is just thinking about investing all the way up to the experienced investor. So I want to be careful. I don't step on any toes either way, you know, on either side. But I would say from the perspective of being a mortgage lender and being the top in the country, I mean, the top 200 loan officers in the country, I know what it takes to get these loans done, right? So if you're just starting, go to your local mortgage broker, go to your mortgage lender, find someone who is and understands investments, but definitely go to your local mortgage lender. Don't seek out hard money and private money and all those things unless it's a quirky property, right? Because otherwise you're going to be paying a lot more for it. So I would say start your journey with a traditional mortgage lender. Start there and then learn how that process works. And then for me, for example, after a while, we got to the point where it was just painful. It was painful to get a mortgage, right? And through traditional financing. So what do? We went to a bank. And so that would be your next step. So once you accumulate many properties, have 10 mortgages on however many properties, it doesn't matter, but 10 mortgages, you're going to start running into problems with a traditional lender. So that's going to start scooching you into alternative financing, or I call it situational financing, where your situation requires that we look elsewhere. And that takes you into banking and making it a small commercial loan. Well, that all by itself is trouble. Good luck with that one. And believe me, we've had to go through that. And you definitely have to do that as soon as you get past 4 units anyway. You start heading in that direction. And that's the next step. And so a lot of people came to me and said, I've been working with this bank for 7 months and we can't get this 2-unit closed. And I'm like, what are you talking about? So it's just knowing that you may have to go through the banking environment. And then once you get past the banking environment, there's a little known bridge that helps you build the gap between banking and hard money or private money. And not all hard money is bad and not all private money is bad. You know, it's good, but there's this nice little bridge and a lot of people don't know about it. And so there's two pieces to it. One is in the mortgage space, there's something called qualifying mortgage or QM. And this is as a result of Dodd-Frank because of the big credit crisis that we had in 2007 and 2008. And so as a result of that, everyone has to meet this qualifying criteria, this qualifying mortgage criteria. And if they don't meet that criteria, then there was nothing available except going for hard money or maybe finding a bank, right? They could do a commercial loan. So in walks this non-QM, non-qualifying mortgage criteria. And there's some loose guidelines in there. And these are securitized loans. So they're very safe. They're securitized on the secondary market. It's not like it's Suzy Q out here, Joe Blow or anything. So those are really, really good options. The only thing is there aren't as many investor options as there are owner occupied. So for example, if you had a 1 day out of bankruptcy, you can get a loan in this, as long as it's owner occupied, right? But there were a few little non-owner occupieds that allowed you to have more financing on more properties, which was not what the traditional lending does. So that was a good sense. And then we just lost QM with COVID.
Oh dear. Okay.
Yeah. So a lot of people don't know. Because of forbearance, everyone stepped back and said, well, we're not going to give anybody a loan and let them not make their payments, right? So a lot of that has retracted, but it's going to come back and it's still there. So that would be the next step. So residential, non-QM, banking, and then you get to the financing that I actually do. And that is just, again, call it situational lending. And what I do is I have access to over 45 different lending investors that consist of hard money, private money, securitized money, buy and holds, fix and flips, multi units, apartment buildings, mixed use, all of that comes in there. And so because of my mortgage experience, I'm able to package these loans better than the average person that you would run on the street. So I'm able to package these loans and then fish them out to the investors and find out who's most interested. So every one of them is case by case. And I just get a finder's fee. That's basically it. They take over from there. I basically get a finder's fee. But this has been really good for me, as was good for me as a lender, because if my investors came to me and they just had no outlet, instead of saying, well, let me make some phone calls and see if I know a Joe Blow down the street who will charge you 12% in 4 points, right? Mm-hmm. This is a great way for me to move into that market. So I'm doing that as well. And of course, I've got my own private investors and hard money guys too, but I still seek them there. So I would just say, if you're starting off in investing, I just want you to know that there are a couple of gaps that can be filled with some financing you probably weren't aware of, rather than going all the way to hard money immediately or private money immediately. There's still options that are wonderful out there for you.
Okay. So I want to backtrack just a little bit to get a little bit more clarity. So the first thing you said is go to a local lender. Is that what you said? And then you said next you can move to banks. I'm not sure what the difference is between that. Could you clarify?
Well, yeah, because when you go to a local lender, and so this is really good too. We'll talk about this too. What's the difference between a loan officer, a mortgage broker, a lender? I mean, the name doesn't matter for the individual. So if you called me a mortgage broker, a mortgage lender, a loan officer, it wouldn't matter. Mortgage advisor. In fact, I was a certified mortgage planner, right? I actually have a certification just like a CPA in mortgages, just like they have in accounting. So that doesn't matter what I'm called. The institution for whom I work with is what's different. So banks have loan officers sitting in their bank. And sometimes they are just the bank loan officers, where they can do residential and commercial. Sometimes banks have loan officers sitting in their branches, and they are part of the mortgage division of their bank. And so they don't do commercial. And as a result, they'll have a commercial loan officer and a residential loan officer still inside of a bank. So there's banks. Then you move from there and you go to a mortgage lender. A lot of times they're referred to as correspondent lenders. So their staff, their loan officers originate loans, find you, help you get a loan. The loan is underwritten to the guidelines of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, and maybe another investor like Wells Fargo or Bank of America, a lot of different companies out there. But that lender, so this is how I use the terms, that lender funds using their own warehouse line, their own line of credit. They fund in their own name, and then they sell to Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. A broker is a loan officer, same thing, but with a broker, they don't fund in their own name. They originate the loan, they help you get the loan, but they send the loan to Wells Fargo. They send the loan to another lender to have them underwrite, make the decisions, and fund the loan in their name. So they're just a finder. And I think a lot of people think that brokers are more expensive, banks are less expensive, or vice versa. And the bottom line is, we're all the same. The pricing's all the same. It's just the way it's delivered. So it's really about who you feel most comfortable with. I will tell you that when you go to a broker and you go to a lender, you're going to have more options in investing, financing, than you will when you go to a local bank. When you go to the bank, you're going to have their guidelines. Now, some of them do sell to Fannie and Freddie, but it's very cookie cutter, right? And everybody else can do Fannie and Freddie anyway. Those are the rates that you see every single day. So you have more options going through a broker and a correspondent than you do going through a lender, bank. But here's what I would say. I need a broker, a lender, and a banker in my repertoire.
Yes, that's what I was going to say too.
Yeah, you need all of them. You need every one of them because you just never know. There's this thing called overlays. Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac put out a box. So these are our guidelines. And then what happens is there's negotiations of overlays. So you'll say, well, how come this lender can do it and that one can't? Because it was part of the negotiation. And it also might mean that it's a little bit more expensive because it is a little off or stretching your Band-Aid or rubber band, your box. So yeah, I would have all of them in my repertoire. And then I would have the private lender or the private money. I would have the hard money. And then now I'm introducing two other entities, which is the non-QM, right? The non-QM loan officer who does that type of financing, as well as the type of financing that I'm doing, which is just completely different. I don't do anything owner-occupied at all. Everything's investor.
Could you talk a little bit more about, you said you're just the finder. So what exactly are you doing? Tell me about what this looks like for my ladies that might want to call you on that.
Yeah, it's interesting because I just had a call with a client who is building, I have my notes around here somewhere. She's looking at buying a 84 unit apartment building in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. She has somewhat of a portfolio. She still has to get me some documentation to figure that out. But what happens is that I collect all the documentation. I build the package, not just in tax returns and things like that, but in the DSCR. I make sure I know what that is. I make sure I know that the comps are out there and that they have the experience, and I'm building their bank statements and their pay stubs and like everything about the property, right? I'm building that that presentation as well as just behind the scenes. Like, what do they want to do with this? What does our strategy look like? Or is there an exit strategy? Is this a buy and hold? What are we trying to do with this? And I then present that to 40 different investors and say, okay, who's interested? And everyone goes, me, right? Mm-hmm. It's all done digitally. Believe it or not, there's this big world out there that most people don't know about, but it's all done digitally. I just upload all the information and digitally, and then I get back three or four different people. Then I hop on the phone and get through the details and make sure that this is an area that we can send to them. And then they write a letter of intent. And then I introduce the two parties and say, here you go, take it from here. Because I don't get involved with any of that side of it anymore. So I'm the guy. The guide who brings you there and says, okay, here are my selection of investors. Which ones do you want to investor lenders? Which terms seem to be best for you? And then you can move forward with that. So I'm building that whole package. And here's what's funny. A lot of times there's no appraisal required. And I'm not talking about an 84 unit, okay? But a lot of times there's no appraisal required. It's an equity loan. A lot of times no credit is required. A lot of times down payments are required, but no income verification, none. And those were the old days, right? But that was through traditional financing, and that is gone and that is not coming back. So what's coming back is this new hybrid for investors of no income verification, no asset verification, sometimes no credit, sometimes just 10% down on an investment property, which you can't get through Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac at all.
Right. Got it.
Right? So it's really cool because people really value that investors who have experience know what they're doing. And if you don't have an experience, that's okay. You might have to put 20% down, but you'd have to do that anyway, right? So they value the experience that investors have.
Got it. Are the rates pretty competitive?
And reward them by making it easy.
Yeah. Are the rates pretty competitive or?
Oh yeah. The rates are very, very competitive. I don't have any issues with any of the rates. Again, they're scalable depending on term, depending on sometimes credit score, depending on down payment, depending on how many units. Also, depending on where you are. Is there a metropolitan area around you? Or are you trying to find something that's out in the country that's 84 units, right? Mm-hmm. That's going to have a big play on it as well. But no, the rates are extremely, extremely competitive. But as you know, rates aren't everything when it comes to investment. It's about the numbers, right?
Yes,
I've lent, my company has lent my other company money at 18%.
Right.
Just so I can make more money in right, a different right, area, right. right?
It just
I needed the write off on one and I needed the income on the other.
Yeah. Are those longer term loans or do they have to be paid off in 5 years?
We actually have 30. Well, it ranges. Obviously, the fix and flips are totally different, right? Six month, 12 month, 18 renewals, you know, up to 24 and 36, depending on the situation. And then the buy and holds are 30 year loans.
Okay.
So 30 year loans. In fact, that's what we're looking at for her is a 30 year loan on an apartment building.
Wow. That's unheard of.
Right.
Wow.
Exactly.
Okay, cool.
Exactly.
Are you affiliated with a particular company doing those sorts of loans?
It's my company.
It's my company.
Okay. Yeah. So we all just, I mean, whoever else does this, we all just kind of peck into there. I mean, this was out of a need for my own need to find alternative financing. Mm-hmm. And I stumbled upon them about 6-7 years ago and just been a godsend because there's just been some great opportunities, you know, to, especially even an owner, well, I shouldn't say owner occupied. In owner occupied, I've had some traditional loans just kind of fall apart. And I was able to go to my private money lender, not in this context because it was owner occupied, but be able to go to my private money lender and still save the deal, refinance it later. So I think, it's just a great opportunity. I mean, again, it was out of my own need and that's how I stumbled across it. And it's just continued to grow with the fact that investment has continued to grow and there's more confidence, there's more data to support the fact that we know someone who has one unit is going to perform differently than someone who has 100 units of properties. Mm-hmm. And so there's common sense in there.
Common sense. Goodness gracious. It's not just
the
numbers.
I can't believe that. Yeah. Because
exactly.
There certainly isn't in residential anymore. It is just cookie cutter. Yeah.
Yeah. That's so funny. So are they still lending during COVID? Because I know a lot of the other lenders, lending money has dried up, like you were saying with the non-QM.
Yeah, non-QM's gone. In traditional financing, non-QM is gone. Jumbo's gone right now. There's very few places that are doing jumbo. Freddie Mac came out last week and said, and look, I'm not even in the business. This is how I love knowing. Freddie Mac came out last week or 2 weeks ago and said that they're going to be reducing their high balance conforming. And this is a big problem in a lot of high ticket areas because like I live in Loudoun County, which is the wealthiest county in the United States of America. I live in the wealthiest county in the United States of America. And these loans that they're talking about, well, that already have taken away because of COVID and that they're talking about taking back the next layer down because of COVID, these are our cookie cutter houses. And it's really going to impact our particular area. Mm-hmm. Other areas like Florida, where the house values are substantially lower, it's not going to have an impact. But yeah, so they're still lending in the non-owner occupied in the investment space. We had a lot of retraction and then it came back again. And then we had a retraction again with forbearance when that came out. It kind of dabbled back in a little bit. So we definitely lost a chunk of business that we or investors that we would have. And I think we'll have them back eventually. But forbearance on a commercial is completely different, or what is perceived to be a commercial, even if it's residential, is completely different than a residential property. It has so much more risk, and that was a blanket policy that was issued. So
interesting. Wow, there's an awful lot to think about around lending, right?
There is an awful lot. This is why you need to get with someone who knows what they're talking about. Yeah.
And that's exactly where I was headed with that, is that sometimes you listen to this stuff, ladies, you might be listening to this and going, oh my God, my head just blew up. I don't even know what they're talking about. And that is true even for me. Every once in a while, someone will come on the show, Jen just said a couple of things, and I was like, what does that mean? Right? And I was a mortgage lender. So,
I know.
Right, because things are changing all the time. So ladies, don't get intimidated. But the key really is to find some people that are investors themselves. So they're interested in this kind of financing that's going to be a little bit different. It's going to have different rates. It's going to have different opportunities. There's going to be some different languaging. And you just want to make sure that you're talking to somebody who understands it themselves so that you're not having to educate them, right? So they can help to educate you and take
and
a look at all the options.
Right, on your timeline and your time clock and your money. And so I would say if someone's watching and listening to this and they're thinking about buying something that isn't going to be traditional financing for whatever reason, okay, whether it's the condition of the property, the type of the property, location, or they have no longer qualify for traditional financing, is to get with me or someone like me in advance. Get your financials pulled together so that anytime that deal of the century comes around every week, right? Anytime it comes around, you aren't starting from scratch.
You
get your ducks in a row.
Yeah, you said something really interesting. There are so many times we go out and we look at a property and we're like, oh my God, I have to have this one. There's never going to be another deal like this one. And the same thing will happen next week or next month. Yeah. So there's no such thing as a deal that you have to have. Right? There are really good deals that come up. And so you just want to make sure that you put yourself in a position that if you find an amazing deal, you can take it. If you find an amazing deal and it's not awesome, you can walk away because you're set up to do another one. So you don't have to make bad decisions because you think this is the only deal and you've got the financing set up for this deal, right? So you just want to make sure you are positioned to make the best choices and buy the best properties for your strategy.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. Totally agree. Yeah, that hurry up and stop. I mean, or stop and hurry up. I mean, both ways is just crazy. You know, getting a call saying, I have to close in 10 days. I have to close in 10 days. That's good luck. I can do that on subject two, but I can't do that on these others, right?
That's right. That's right. Exactly. Very nice. So tell everybody how they can reach you if they do want to ask you questions.
Thank you. Yeah, the best way to reach me is jen@jenduplessis.com. That's my email address. And if you're watching this, you can see how to spell my name.
And it'll be in the show notes. Yeah, it'll also be in the show notes.
Yeah, and you'll put it in the show notes as well. But yeah, just one end, Jen, but Jen Duplessis, just reach out to me and say, hey, I'd like to have a conversation and like to maybe get my ducks in a row for something or just have you explain this not so fast.
Right.
I mean, I've been doing this for 40 years, so, you know, I definitely know what I'm doing. But, you know, just have that conversation. Maybe you just want to talk it through and just say, you know, look, I'm not ready to do anything yet, but I just want to understand it a little bit more. And I'm happy to answer your questions, especially as women, we need to be lifting and supporting and leading each other up. So yeah, that would be the best way to get a hold of me.
Yay. Thank you so much for that. And yes, as women, we do need to be lifting each other up. It's important. So thank you so much for offering your time to my ladies. Yay. So we're going to go into our three rapid fire questions. But before that, let's talk a little bit about what you're going to be talking about in Extra, because I know you got some juicy stuff. So why don't you share that?
Oh, I'm so excited. Yeah, I'm so excited. Well, you know, as my bio said, you know, I really believe that people can live their legacy while they're building their legacy. And so often we're so laser focused on building, right? And not having this beautiful life at the same time and then dying and not having the life or retiring and then passing away not too many months later because now that purpose is gone. And I really believe that we can live our legacy while we are building it. But it requires that you're working with focus so that you can play with passion. And that working on focus for me is mastering your priorities so that you can be the master of your life. And so many people, it's a law of something. This is what's great about podcasts. I don't know. I don't know what that law is called because all of a sudden it just escaped me because I'm older now, but it'll come to me. Parkinson's law. See, there we go. Parkinson's law is that if it takes you an endless amount of time to do something, then you will take that endless amount of time to do it. But if you have a timeline, you will finish it. It's like if I gave you 5 miles on a flight path, right, where you had to take off and I gave you 5 miles, you would take the whole 5 miles. But if I said, oh, hey, you have to get this plane off the ground before you hit that tree 100 yards away, you would do it, right? And so I help people, and this is what I do, is I help loan officers, realtors, and investors how to prioritize everything in their lives so they can have that beautiful, I call it lifestyle business mastery, so they can have the best of both worlds. And so often in real estate investing, when the gurus say, well, you can be an investor, you just need 1 hour a night to dedicate, sitting there and going, well, what am I going to do in that 1 hour? I don't have a plan. I don't have a strategy. And I've got all these kid things going on and I can never get to it. So that's what we're going to talk about, is some of the steps to take to start getting in that direction. I have 4 businesses. They're all doing really well. And it's because I know how to manage my priorities and I don't do things that aren't going to move me forward and serve my greater purpose in life and the outcome I want. So that's what we're going to talk about.
Yay. So we're going to be talking about lifestyle, business, mastery, and Extra. That's going to be amazing. I'm really excited about that. So are you ready for our 3 rapid fire questions?
Okay. Yes. I hope so. I don't know what the questions are, but I hope so. So
I actually just realized that. So ladies, it's so funny because normally I send an email first so they know what their questions are. We go over it in the green room. So they have questions. But like Jen and I just went crazy excited to see each other. I forgot to mention this. So I know
that's okay.
Easy
go for
you.
I got it.
Okay, here we go.
I got this.
Okay, good. So tell us one super tip on how to get started investing in real estate.
How to get started investing in real estate. Know what type of real estate aligns with your core values, which we're going to talk about in the extra. Know what type of real estate aligns with your core values, your passion, and your financial wherewithal right now.
Love that. And then what is one strategy on being successful in real estate investing?
Draw a line in the sand for your cash flow.
Okay.
Don't waver. If your cash flow is every house has to cash flow $250, then do not sign the contract for one $249,999, right? No. Don't do it.
Okay. Oh, interesting. Great.
And then line in the sand.
Like there's this line and we have to cross it. We have to cross it.
You do not cross this line ever. Even, oh, I love the house. It's so cute. No. Do not cross that line, because once you start crossing it, it becomes a habit and you make bad mistakes.
Okay. Got it. Got it. Okie doke. And so the next one is, what is one daily practice that you do, Jen, that you would say contributes to your personal success?
Well, for me, it's time management, priority management. I get up and I know exactly what I need to do today. I get in, I get out, and I go play. That is the key to it. As I said before, if you master your priorities, you can become the master of your life. And we all have the same 24 hours. I just maneuver within them quite different than other people to excel everything that I want to excel. Yes. So I don't care if it's personal and I don't care if it's business. If I want to excel something, I maneuver that. I master those priorities and really make the right choices. It's those small choices that can bite you. They're like mosquitoes, the constant small choices versus the big elephant. It's not the big choices that hurt you. It's the small ones that hurt.
Mm. Ooh, I love that. Well, I can't wait to hear more about that in extra.
Great. I can't wait to share it. Yeah. Come on over.
Yay. So, well, this has been awesome, Jen. Thank you so much for all that you've shared in this portion of the show.
Of course. You're very welcome. Good luck to everybody. Thank you so much for having me.
Sure. And ladies, stay tuned. We've got more coming in extra. So if you're subscribed, stay tuned. If you're not subscribed but would like to be, go to realestateinvestingforwomenextra.com and you can subscribe. You get 7 days for free, so you can get this extra and then many others and see if it's for you. And then if it's not, you just don't subscribe, but at least you can try it out. Go to realestateinvestingforwomenextra.com. For those of you that are leaving us now, thank you so much for joining Jen and I for this portion of the show. I so appreciate it. Appreciate you, and I look forward to seeing you next time. And until then, remember, goals without action are just dreams. So get out there, take action, and create the life your heart deeply desires. I'll see you soon. Bye. Thank you again for joining me on the Real Estate Investing for Women podcast. If you love this show, please subscribe, rate, and review it on iTunes. As women, we need to support and empower each other to build wealth and live joyful lives. Your support of this podcast by subscribing, rating, and reviewing it will help other women just like you learn about building blissful wealth through investing. And remember to download your free report so you can get started on your investing journey at blissfulinvestor.com. See you next time.